And now we come to the weekly letters column. The readers this week are particularly interested in the canaries. There's a surprise and corporate failure.
Steve Mackinder of Denver, that's the one in Norfolk, not Colorado, is somewhat irritated by the food writers, in particular the Evening News' Andy Newman. He writes, "It's hard to believe Andy Newman's column. The basic tenet of his column is food and the associated promotion of restaurant eating and the justification of the associated costs of visiting these celebrity chefs. But his patronizing assertion that we are not a nation of foodies had me laughing. Who cares if we're foodies or not? The term is generally regarded in modern parlance as mildly derogatory and shows a certain desperate self-regard to describe oneself as such. Food is food, and obviously it's the center of his universe, but a luxury the average person is denied, as we have to go to work and sometimes grab something for dinner on the hoof. Eat what you want, Andy, but kindly desist from lecturing the ordinary people about what you think is right and foody. We have far more immediate problems than wittering about whether lemongrass is still trendy or agonizing over the best way to serve chia seeds to your guests. Get over yourself, Andy. It's all just grub."
The far-reaching failure of the giant Carillion is the subject of a couple of letters this week. Glyn Linder of Frettenham writes, "There are plenty of brickbats being thrown at the current situation involving the construction company Carillion. The vast majority are fully justified, pointing to below-par management, excessively high salaries to directors, and poor judgment on the part of the government in awarding contracts to a company that was clearly in trouble. I do, however, have an issue with those that have levelled criticism at greedy shareholders who have received dividends from the company. I have held shares in Carillion in the past, along with thousands of other small shareholders who invested their money in the company, and many of them are now left with a handful of worthless share certificates. They are not greedy people, but are victims, along with many others, of this mess."
And on the same subject, Ron Brewer of Old Buckenham feels the signs were there long ago. He writes, "The ringing of bells was sometimes used in the past to warn people of potential danger. It seems as if the Carillion bells have been ringing for a long time, but nobody, particularly the government, wanted to listen."
Norwich City Football Club is the topic raised by a couple of readers this week. John Rogers of Drayton feels changes are needed, and he writes, "We constantly get told that Norwich City Football Club has no money. Why? We are in our second season of parachute payments. We have sold Olsen for $4 million, Brady for $10 million, Jacob Murphy and Housen for $5 million, and paid very little for replacements. We also have one of the most expensive season tickets for non-Premier League clubs. We also have one of the best average attendance records. Is this another case of money mismanagement? For example, does Ed Balls have to account for the Jez Moxie episode? You only have to speak to any Wolves supporter and they would have told you how happy they were when he left. Finally, I have always praised Delia, but is it now time to put the club before her own interest? She needs to sell to someone who can invest some much-needed money into the club."
And Brian Winchester adds to the debate with a suggestion. A Honingham reader, he writes, "With the management of Norwich City Football Club obviously fixated by finance, as evidenced by the sale of one of their brightest assets, and with a falling off of attendances, as published in news reports, perhaps they might consider using some of the Pritchard money by putting up notices at all turnstiles to read, 'Abandon hope, all ye who enter here.'"
We'll have more letters next week. In a short while, we will have our first feature written by Derek James. But now, back to the news.